This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Let me ask you, is there anything you notice about the kids changing over these years? I'm curious just to know, sharing, what do you notice now? Are there changes? I'm just curious to know there.
Gemara skills used to be much, much better coming out of high school. Much better. Modern Orthodox high school, 20 years ago, a different world than nowadays. It could be at some point they tried to, the goal was to educate them to be able to learn. Now the goal is to get them to Eretz Yisrael. Does anybody argue that? And then anybody agree with that assessment?
Moish, what do you think of the Nazi as well? Why is in charge of Nazi as well?
Yeah. I know there's a movement by us, there's a woman side of movement, which I think she means well, that she wants to abolish all academic ratings in Woody Kurdish. She says that makes the kids unhappy and miserable, and they look at it as dredge work, and they should all be happy. This is so, I'm frightened out of my wits at that, but I don't know, is that part of the Ruach? I was curious to know what the...
We find here that it helps. Coercion is the enemy of motivation, and by not having to take tests, where you look at your motivation because it's not forced upon them, but there has to be a balance because they're the guys who will slide and do nothing. Mm-hmm. So it has to be
definitely a danger, a law of unintended consequences with that. The message that they'll hear is that it matters less. Mm-hmm. They won't necessarily hear that they'll love it more.
Right.
So it's. I don't think that they have a hard time hearing and understanding that you're evaluated on something that's important and that,
right.
That it matters. How it's presented is a different story.
Do you deal a lot, and that's why I deal a lot now with kids from modern Orthodox schools?
Yeah.
And you're able to supplement things that they don't get from school?
Try. It's not push it at all. Yeah. Not push it.
About, maybe it's 10 years ago, Ravelli, maybe it's more, I can't remember. My brother Ravelli had the opportunity to ask Rav Matis Yosalman in Lakewood. About the yeshiva, what should be the breakdown in terms of Gemara, in terms of Machshava, in terms of Musa, in terms of Hasidus. So he asked Ravelli to describe the yeshiva, and he described it. And Matisyahu said it sounds like Kiruv, and in Kiruv there's no Masorah, and you gotta do whatever works. Does Yeshiva agree with that?
The notoriously hard part is to define what works. I mean, Kiruv itself, you have like the three different approaches, and all of them have like the sacred. You had like Or Sameach, which was kind of a mini yeshiva, like just an entrance ramp for people who got on late. They make no attempt almost to. The idea is, the goal is to get to go to mini yeshiva, and they teach you Gemara and so on. It's had its successes and lack. Asia Torah is just being a part of the whole world, a lot of life wisdom, and a lot of minimal, just getting everybody to identify Jewish. They've had their successes, they've had their issues, and Mechon Shlomo, which is very focused, 2 years, get the basic skills, go back, finish your profession, be an Eruch of all of us, and that's it. But they're very picky, they pick only a very select group of kids, very academically motivated, and so on. They all seem to fit some need, they all seem to succeed to some way, they all seem to have flaws. I know it's hard to say there's one thing that works. What I think is neglected today, what I see by us, communal Kiruv. There are a lot of families that, or singles, a lot of older singles, if they're drawn into an atmosphere of a community that's good, they'll change. It's like used to be in the old time in a shul. It was downplayed for a long time, when in the 70s when kids were hiking and you could schlep them to yeshiva and so on. Today, I think that should be fostered a lot more, directed. It's a gradual process, but I think it's a healthy process. I don't know if it could be somehow fostered actively, or it just happens. I'm not sure. I don't know if you're involved in the States, or either you live here, or you live there, or what
live
do you...
Live here.
But you... Prusa. Like NCSY did, you know, it's kind of a gradual movement and brings in people, so.
Has there ever been one mahalik that, you know, statistically showed it worked more for these kinds of yeshivas? We're going to go, you know, we're going to show them that, you know, they really should push for this, and when they go back, or is there really, anyone's game to for what works best?
It's a totally difficult because who's your audience? Like, The two problems here are, what's success? In Asia Torah, if the person you affected is not keeping many mitzvahs, but is proudly Jewish, it's a success. Does that have hemshich? What is it worth? It's certainly worth that he does marry a guy, but is that something we want to keep doing? So one question is, it's notoriously difficult to define what's hatzlacha. And also, there always seems to be self-selecting. The type of ruach, you know, the certain type of person who gravitates to the Torah message, life, wisdom, and stuff like that. And there's some people that you know, it's certainly, if somebody comes to yeshiva and he lives seriously for 2 years, he's in a different world and he's in a different place in terms of success of keeping a person in a domain, certainly.
Let me ask a question from a different angle. If there's somebody who has a lot of difficulty with Gemara, and he's not interested in it, how much, you know, should he have to learn Gemara, and how much should he just be focusing on Machshava, Musar, Chumash, Hasidus, which speaks there much more?
Theoretically, you would say, do Musar, Chumash. I'll tell you what I'm wary about. You tend to get these people that are very, I don't know, flighty, spiritual, depending on what term you want to use. And it becomes an unhealthy, I would say, agadita is almost like a Rosh Hashanah. You say whatever you want to say. I'm very wary about a person who's not a grounded person, doesn't have the discipline in Gemara, that you can't just say what you want to say. How much do you take at, how good is it to let him free reign in Machshava? And I wrote about the last week about Rabbi Shapiro. I wrote a piece in Yathed. It's his fifth year outside. And I wrote that what made him incredibly mekubel is he was a Schwitz London. So his mind was tethered really, really tough to the ground. So whatever he said was an extension. It's like the difference, I would say, in. You ever see, you have scientists that are these dry technicians. They sit, they do data and data and data, which is nice. So the stuff is reliable, but that's all. It's never, you have these people like half science fiction, half science people that, you know, wormholes and different dimensions and different that. And the person never put a pencil to paper. You say, it's about halachas. There's no reality to it. You're looking for somebody, the big scientist is someone who knows the hardcore data and yet can put it together out of the box. So, somebody who's just in Machshava and has no real yisod in halacha, I'm not going to talk about the entire package, then it tends to become kind of the person is, I mean, what he's saying, it might be right, it might be wrong, but it has a quality to it that I'm very wary. So, to create a movement of people that are like that, I don't know, it's very worrisome. One of the things about, one of the problems with Kalbach and the people that he affected was, there was a lot of positive ruach and sincerity in it. It was so disconnected from this mitzvahs and learning that it created people that are just kind of this floating, not an attractive people.
It got more Shomer Shabbos, but it lowered the bar.
It lowered the bar, and then it also created all sorts of side issues, like the person's not solid, not grounded. We had by us a boy whose father was a rav, two boys actually, his father was a rav, and they were... And the families they had were so dysfunctional. And it appeared to me that that's where it was coming from. It was all ruach and no roll up your sleeves and sweep the floor and make sure your kids are clean and dressed, it didn't exist. And it's a problem if you're somewhere in a different world here.
Meaning neo-Hasidus.
Yeah, that worked. The Reb Chaim Shlomitz used to say, there's nothing better than, there's nothing holier than an neshama. But an neshama without a goof is a mazik. That's a it's a shed. And there is something that a person who doesn't have, I don't want to know his name, but just, it's not that Shlomo Kalman wasn't sincere about Adonai, but he couldn't keep a family together. And to keep a family together needs a lot of tachlis, a lot of nuts and bolts, a lot of, groundedness.
Just yesterday, daughter said he had a real problem in terms of yichus, in terms of what were done and how it's now being overseen by many people. And they wondered, was my father on the right track, or is it Yitzchak Rabbi Hefseder?
Really?
Yesterday, I was reading.
Wow.
But what about a Kalman Yeshiva where, like, the Ian Shiram went after him? And he was just rather just to, like, step out of Yeshiva. Like, while he's in the years of Yeshiva, he's that age of Yeshiva, but Ian is not working. He's just not.
I think, the principle, that's okay. As long as you learn your Gemara, knows what it says, halacha, fine. Our derech is not the only derech. But in yeshiva setting, questions, do you have a framework? He needs a framework. Take a bechinis on the Gemara. There's nothing, it's wonderful to learn, even straightforward. They asked Rabbi Yashiv once about learning the kiyas. He said, I don't care for labels. Do you know what you learned? He said, learning a lot of Latin, you don't know what you learned, or learning, whatever it is, he said, knowing and having them clear what you learned is learning. So people who know this stuff, I asked Rav Shach once, I didn't go much Rav Shach, I didn't know him, I didn't have Shachas, but twice, I was there four times, twice was like public in Yonim that I was involved in something, I needed to have someone, and twice was bar mitzvahs, my kids were bar mitzvahs, I was able to get in. So he gave a bracha, and I had a few minutes to shmooze, so I figured I'm going to, So he spoke to my son about learning the Ikka Gemara Rashi Taisvis, not going off on, he said, the Bichlach, the books kill the yeshivas. As in the books, he said, a Trimmon's book or a Fres book, those books shouldn't be in the yeshivas. It's my books, I don't have yeshivas.
Sounds like Rav Bachman.
What?
Sounds like Rav Bachman.
He says, a bracha should be learning Marashi Taisis, the main Rishonim, and the Ktzois, and the Kivayik, that's it. So I figured I was going to try to ask him, but didn't Reb Chaim change the world, the Der Halimut? But wow, it's like I pressed the button, his eyes started blazing. He said, so what? He's the only person? There was no Torah before Reb Chaim, no Torah after Reb Chaim? There's a lot of worlds. He said, I was a young Bracha Sabbatka. I was 16 years old, he said, I brought a Sabbat Yeshiva. He said, nobody looked at me. I was a nobody. He says, I learned through the Masechta of Abasa. By Hanukkah, I'd learned it through four times. But he said, not with many things. He said, I didn't go off many things. It didn't seem that much. But that's what I did. I sat and learned and learned and I learned. That's all. So if a person is yosher and he's learning stuff, I think it's, you always encourage him to try it. The big problem is in yeshiva, there's no framework for it. So the kid ends up being neither here nor there. Without a structure is a real problem. But if there's a structure in the halach, Rabbi Kiffel, where's he? Do you tell him about the chabura you have?
Oh boy.
He has a chabura in the Midrashim that's an amazing chabura. Tell him. He's a Talmud of ours. It was Avar a long time ago, and it's been at this all for a very long time.
What we do in yeshiva is we learn about two and a half blots a week. We go through the Masechta cover to cover. We stick to Gemara Shitaisis and the Ikar Rishonim. And we have Bechinas, we make the guys do Shakta Vitarias. Someone just put out a Sefer the other day. And then, as we're going through the Masechta, the Halachas that come up, so then we'll take out a tour based on Shulchan Aruch and go through it. But the Ikarim, we go through the entire Masechta and with the things necessary to retain it, and that's something that the world works. It works for a lot of avreichim when they come. when they take this step from other yeshivas into us. I have a lot of young avreichim. This concept of learning an entire masechta and knowing it is beyond them. And once they do it and they get a taste of it, wow, like I just went through a whole parak and I know it. I can say it back to you, Shakta Vitarya, Baal Peh, with the Rosh and the Ranak, Rosh Taisis. That's it. They just get blown away and they get lost in it. And then when you go to another parak and another parak and another parak, and then once you have a whole masechta down like that, they're gone. They're sold. And then they have a mahalach that works for them. Just it needs that that everyday working of simplicity, and it works. Yes.
My shver was very much wanted that to be the base of the yeshiva. They should finish the masechta every month. He said that's how it always was in Europe. They should know this stuff. And he really pushed it. He tried to pay more money to do it that way. But Chaim Shavitz wasn't so happy with that, so my shver took a back seat. My shver respected him. But my shver was the one to raise the money, and he was very, it was benafshe. When Chaim was nifta, within the shiva, my shver did a pilot shir lunchtime. And we'd learn a lot every day, and he would say Shtekel Torah. Now, it didn't last that long, but he was, they have chaburis in the middle, a lot of them that work on that episode. But my friend said, I don't want the people who can't do Ian. I want the people who can do Ian and be able to put it into learning. He said, they always learn the yeshivas. Reb Nachum would finish every zman to Lamed Hei. I remember, I learned Baba Basra. We started Ashutfin in the first day of Zman. He went straight, didn't skip anything, till Cheskes Habatim, Lamed Hei, the end of the winter. Now, you had to really work hard to keep up with him, but his point was, he learned the Ikar points, and he said the Mahal, he had worked out. He certainly never spoke out. He would speak out the Akron if he felt that was the right Mahal from the Sugya. So he would say, Bemis, he would say something, and he would say, Bemis, the Tzavsefer says this already, but I'm saying in my words, but he wouldn't, there was no Inya to go to Sfar. It was like, you have to learn and see what it says, and that was. And he would finish it, and he complained that he's going too slow. But then, it was different. They looked at much less firm. They tried to get everything with siddur in a way. And I know that that was different.
I wonder if the Rosh Hashiva knows about the Moshe Weinberger's year and the controversy playing out now.
I heard part of it, and yeah. So, like everything else, it's an over. Again, I didn't hear the whole thing. I didn't get the whole context of it. Baruch Hashem, most people in yeshiva do extremely well. You know, the problem is, if you walk into me yeshiva and there are 1,000 people sitting and learning in a basement, which there are, and they're learning really stark, really schmack, they get the amount of attention they get is very minimal. If there are 25 guys outside hanging out, you walk by me yeshiva, that's what you see. And it's very noticeable. You know, a pizza store in the Midrash Shiva that has 45 guys in the middle of the Seder is very noticeable. And it's jarring. It is jarring. It gets your nerves. So the question is how to deal with it. And I heard Padish I was on the way here. The question is, and the alternatives, you know, to find an alternative, somebody should go to work immediately. So in the old days, when you went to work, meant you worked in a bakery for 12 hours a day, you get a stainless cats oven. To drain an office that's draining money, to tell me that's going to help the person develop, I have hesitations. So finding a miscarriage that will work is a real challenge.
Isn't the flip side of working in an office for 10 hours, let's say, and you're not dying at the end of the day? Gives you the ability to then sit and learn. So again, maybe yeshiva isn't for you full time and you can't do it, but then it's kind of like the bakery where you're coming home and you need to fall asleep, where you can then sit and learn for an hour.
But the problem is, finding for a 19, 20-year-old boy, finding an environment other than the yeshiva that you feel is positive and helping you grow. Sometimes what's done is in the yeshiva itself, there are jobs to do where the person feels that he's adding a lot. You know, there are people in yeshiva that do things that are not sitting and learning, but he's the one who's taking care of things, side of things, running things. You want to be able to foster a positive Yiddish education in the person, a ruchnistic education, even if he's not sitting by Gemara, and finding a framework for that. By us, we encourage, or with Bachem that I've encouraged, I told him, you need to go work at least for half day, go to school for half day. You're not, and but staying in yeshiva the other half a day, for some boys it works well, but it's unique. By us, it's a small place. It's a laid back town. There isn't much to do. In other words,
you don't get into trouble.
What?
You don't get into trouble so much.
Yeah, and the town is, I hate to say the word, a backward town. They still have like these old values about being respectful and low-key and, you know, things. You know, I mean, my wife always like gets to me. Over there, if a kohen sees you walking towards that you have a hamid across, they stop to let you cross. Over here, the minute he sees you have a hamid, you know, you put a foot in, you know. I was amazed, like you said, before the light changed, the guy behind me is honking because I'm in Maryland, nicest place, and he knows that I'm not going to go out the second before. So, you know, it's different. It's a lower key place, and, you know, there's not much fun in Silver Spring.
It's
only fun. The truth is finding a framework. I told somebody who likely deals with boys like that, I said they have to feel it's positive. So this person has a place where boys are working. A boy in Lakewood who's working at the age of 18, 19 means he's really, you know, bottomed out. There's really no place here. This younger man that I have a good chance with, he has a place at night. It's a bit smedrish. He hired about 20, 30 younger line who are available. This cholent, this cake, there's like an outside patio where you can smoke, and it's a laid back set. But they come there. They come there when they finish working. They sit around, they have being among learning with them, they can sit outside and schmooze a bit, they got Meyer, he learns with them something. It's a 2.5 hour, and he has his mind is that he's working with these guys to move them in a good place. But you need that effort. You can't just say, okay, let them just, you know, they have to. Somebody has to create an environment that's, there was somebody in Lakewood who opened the yeshiva when they work half day, learn half day. So he told me, in the beginning they were rote of him. Now, he still gets a lot of phone calls. Could you please take this book? Could you please take this book? Could you please take this book? You know, and again, it's not the pshat is, it's like, he works with that. Like this will be a good setup for you. This is not a good setup for you. We'll do this, we'll do that. It's a proactive, positive approach. And that I think is very good.
What about a Talmud? He's living in Passaic. He works all day, makes parnasa. He's up Pasigin, learns a Seder. At night, he comes home, has a halacha Seder. Family's doing wonderful. His kids in a great miskarah, great yeshivas. Daughters in Beis Yaakov doing beautifully. He wants to make aliyah to Ramat Beit Shemesh.
I tell people three things. A, you need to know you're going to have parnasa here. You know, somehow, I mean, there's nothing is for sure in this world, but just to come and to say, it'll be taken care of. It's not good any place, and especially we don't know anything. Secondly, I think you need to be happy with the options available for the kids. If you're a Dati Lumi person and you have a Dati Lumi miskaret that you have with, wonderful. If you're Haredi and you like that miskaret, wonderful. But if you're going to be hit by not knowing where to send your kid, and if kids are over a certain age, it's a real problem. You know, you know that, and you know, I tell people, of course I live next door. I came here, I was not even 17. I was in yeshiva, I speak Hebrew, my wife's Israeli, my kids went to Israel. I'm Israeli, I don't have a problem with that. But if you don't know where you're going, and third of all, you need to find, it's developing, you need to find community that you fit. If you're neither here nor there, in America you can, it's doable, because here, you're something. I have a cousin of mine. He came to Eretz Yisrael in 1964 to learn. He learned the Chassidim. And he's a real American kid. And he asked him, where do you get health insurance? He asked somebody, you get health insurance? Insurance for kids. They told him, Kupat Cholim. So he went to Haifa and he registered in the Istadut Kupat Cholim. And he went back. And those days, that had Pinkas Adom. They had a red thing. Comes to yeshiva, guy says, oh my gosh, you're not embarrassed to walk in yeshiva because he said, no, it's health insurance. He says, man, you became a party now together with the Rosh Hashanah. And this poor kid had no idea. Health insurance, like, what could be controversial about Blue Cross, Blue Shield, like, you know, and no, it's a Pinkas Adom. And those days, people don't even know, those days, those things, health insurance. You belong to a political party.
And they
had insurance. So the big one, Khalid, was the Labour Party. Yeah. Mafdal worked out with them that you could belong to Mafdal and be part of that. And Pi worked out with that. But no, you didn't know that. It was... Someone told me, if people don't know today what it was, I had a neighbor of mine in Azabira, a guy came from Iraq, a sweet fellow, knew nothing. This is going back in the 50s. No, he came later, but he was at, there's a big tile company called Chirut. Chirut Ceramica. I don't know if this is around today, but that was like the Istadrut company. So he said, so this guy told me they had a retirement party for one of the guys, and he was telling me over reminiscing. He said he came from Iraq, they gave him work, it was nice work. At the end of the month, the boss, the foreman, calls him in, and he says, Chevre, atem merutzim po? He says, Ken, it's a tough. Mi shelo chaver miflaga ad hashavua haba, en lavoda po. That was the norm. It's a statute firm. The guy didn't know he registered the Chirut party. It's Chirut, it says Chirut. He came back, the guy almost hung him. He says, Mechotzef, we're giving you panasi. He says, no, Chirut, Chirut, Katim Chirut, Zema Shari, Marta Shatzeglot Chavan Miflagam. No, here, Chirut. People don't understand how politicized that soul was and how, now it sounds strange to say it, but it was, in those days, the government, was a very socialist government, and it was a very statute-oriented. But that was the so you have to be able to, know that your kids will make it, I know. You live around Beit Shemesh. You
live here.
You live here. But there aren't that many Americans here, right? It's not
Americans, but it's your neighborhood.
It's all neighborhood. If they yield,
your kids turn out okay.
Really? Oh, wow. We actually had, the Lisa Bluff was in our house a few weeks ago. She gave my daughter, they went to look at different foundations in America to support different activities, so she ate something with us.
If somebody's interested in Hasidus, which swarm would the Yarshu recommend? Which would he say keep away from?
So I think, again, it depends on the person's bent. The swarm that I think, it's always good if you have somebody learning with him, because I think, and I feel like I've said, Or Gedal Yahu is amazing in being able to open up Musagim. It's written by a Talmud Chacham. It's beautiful. I learn it a lot of times with different groups of people because I feel like it's the Tam, and I think in terms of a warm sefer that drives you well, it's, the Piasetzna of things, Sina Shalom. I personally, Hasemis, but Hasemis is a very hot sefer. Hasemis is shorthand. He was very, very spouse on words. Breslov's problem is it's written in very simple, warm language. It advises you to do things that are as extreme as it comes. There's no sense of balance in it. What he himself was, no idea. But I'm serious, I tell people, he was a very poetic person. But he writes that they should print a lot of sfarim and give them out because it makes barren women have children. Akar is hachal. Now, if you take it the way it's written, you're nuts. I think it's poetic. It makes people produce. It makes people, it fires up your imagination. But it's a dangerous saver because he advises things that are really extremes. But it's written in very simple language, it's
Moshe. Anybody can read it.
What?
Anybody can read it.
Yeah, and that's a problem, and people get into it, and the Rebbe said this, and the Rebbe now said it. Also, again, as a Litvak, as a Maimon, an over heavily emphasis on a personality sets a lot of red flags. It shouldn't be Rebbe Nachman. A Rebbe is a Rebbe, but and he's a teacher of mine, but. That everything is to be dove. I don't know. That's one of the things that obviously made me very worse. I'm that was obviously part of the problems with Chabad. During the early generations, the Balat Tanya pushed people away. He said, "Don't crowd around me. Learn the Sfarim, and do what you're supposed to do." I'm astounded. One of his letters is, he said, "It's a new Mishagas that they ask me for Eitzes and Gashmias. It's not my field. Why don't you just make some ruchnias?" But like, tell that to. I know it's in Tanya. It's in 20 acres Kaidish. I was able to figure out.
That's quoted in all the anti-Das Torah articles.
What?
That's quoted in all the anti-Das Torah articles.
Yeah, it's supposed to be an understanding of Pita Torah, but
What advice do you give Rebbeim, let's say three Siddurim, they're working morning, afternoon, and night, in terms of their own growth and learning? What it's is,
you know what? It's a real issue. I can tell you from, you grow a lot from teaching, but you always feel you're missing out. You don't have time to recharge the batteries. Rabbi Chanan used to go every El to Radin, to you know what? Chavetz Chaim. But he went to learn. And after he was nifty, he went to Kelm. It's important to find some time, either day or Kufet. You're a different person because you get recharged. And you're able to. Someone told me the son of Rebbe's son-in-law is a neighbor of Lovitz, and he was a chavrus of mine. We were good friends. So he told me, as a bach over there, also people speak a lot to Rosh Hashiva. He's like, he was a big, Mr. Shalom was a big person. So he went in to speak to him. So the Rebbe told me, he was a Shiva then, he wasn't a Rebbe yet. He said, "You're coming to me to talk to me as Rosh Hashiva." He said, "For 3 days I haven't learned anything. I'm not Rosh Hashiva. Give me a day to learn, I'll become Rosh Hashiva." It is something. A lot of schools in America have begun creating a system where they, in the afternoons, have a biologist to learn. It's amazing, because they needed to supplement incomes. In a school where you can have Limudic Kodesh all day long, but in a firm school where they have Limudic Kodesh all the morning, so what are the Rebbe doing in the afternoon? I still remember when they sold insurance. Not just a Rebbeim would sell insurance in the afternoon. So what they did is, giving money, paying somebody $80,000 for teaching a half day is also weird. It's going to create tension. So what they do is they pay a salary, and then the second half of the day they have a Mechanchim Kollel, where you have to learn. You can't be doing any teaching, but you can learn what you want. And it's very much there. In a lot of cities, the Rebbeim feel very energized. In cities where you can afford it, it's become a
It used to be they would go teach in Talmud Torahs.
Ah, really?
But there were no more Talmud Torahs, and they would just, because you had kids who wanted bar mitzvahs. So an emptiness grew up, and nothing to fund it and fill it.
Right. And you're stuck. What do you do? It's a cold one. So I think doing things like that, each place has its own...
But short of that, is one mechuyev to mevatel to give up, or is one saying you have to find an eitzah, you have to find a way?
Technically, you've been going to Talmud Torah plus by teaching, but
even
inside,
if it's kirov misogim and it's not Gemara,
you know. So you're doing what you're supposed to do, but finding time, just practically, you become dry. If you're not yonik achiyus, and Rav Moshe Shapiro told me, I started teaching Eishat Torah, he was very curious for it. Said it's very nice. He said, but at some point you're gonna start feeling dry. Oh. Leave them, right? And interesting, it kind of dumped. I remember the first time somebody came to me, and it was like a very important thing. And usually, you know, at a certain moment, and I was instead thinking about the errands I have left to do. I said, you know, you've lost it. If you don't have that excitement when a guy comes. So it just happened.
Hey, Rabbi, you get jealous of the Talmidim. The
Talmidim get too excited. Okay, I have to. Yeah.
Is a person shifa? Is it a realistic shifa to have to be 50, 60 years old and just be running Yom HaLeil without giving over?
Kimat not. That's the truth. I can tell you, personality wise, most people can do till the 30. Maybe there's a chazanish, you know, it's one out of all. I always tell people, when you're a bacha and you're 19 and someone comes to you, he has a shidduch for you, you tell him, leave me alone, I'm nafshi kashim b'teira, I'm a benazai of some sort. That's what you feel. When you're 25, you're not married, you begin to climb the walls. You know, when everyone else is married, when you're 30 and you're not being mashpi, I tell them, either you're the type of guy where there's a line waiting to ask you to talk to your learning, or you're writing a sefer, or you're teaching a class. And at the age of 30, the rule of the thumb is you begin to. I can't say exactly, but at some point, people can't do it. They become very. I don't know if it goes. Unless you're Chabad, or unless you have a personal challenge, you're writing sperm on all of Shas, and it's sperm that people want to buy. You're You're doing something, but if not, the teva, just like
you say, the teva is not to be like that.
Yes, person wants to be yashkei. Person wants to have kids. Person wants to do. That's the teva advar. Had a chava of mine who was learning well, he was in his mid-30s, and they offered him a job teaching in a high school in America. It was far away. It was in Los Angeles. It was a very nice job, but it was, you know. And he went to ask, I think it was one of the four Rosh Hashivas, I think it was Rabbi Rucham, if he should take the job. And he said, 100%. He said, but I really, you know, like, I want to learn. He says, do you want to take a job when you stop wanting to learn? And there was a very, and Baruch Hashem, he became a star Rebbe, and Altuski. It's something that a person, Baruch Hashem, I have to go. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Okay. It's really amazing.